Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR. Fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Ethan Nestor. Pride of Los Angeles.
Thank you.
Heir to the throne of I don't know, fucking stand creatures.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You like that one? That came out of left field, didn't
what
it?
What are stand creatures?
I don't know. Don't you have like a rabid stand?
What?
Base? Stands.
Yeah. Like.
I don't know.
Stand creatures?
Like you are a stand one. The people. This is falling apart quickly. People stand you.
Yeah, sure.
You're
sure,
a stand sure. creature.
Sure. Yes.
I really lost you on that last one.
No, they always say that about me.
Yeah.
You're right.
You know? Right. But you're here to set things straight.
I'm here to set things straight.
Because this is, I don't know why I'm introducing this like it's 60 minutes. But I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here today. You are my second savior during this period where my best friend decided to go have a fucking life. Decided to go have his little moth man, his child.
And I saw it.
Yeah. No. Over there. And for context there, the reason why I keep calling the kid Mothman is because they gave me an ultrasound little image and I have a bunch of like weird little magnetic words on my fridge and I put Mothman under the child. So
was that just the first one that you picked up or did you search?
I saw that and I said that seems appropriate.
Yeah.
Like there was because it creates a whole dialogue there. Now instead of this being a regular child, now Emma had within her something akin to the Antichrist.
Yeah, it's kind of like The Fly. I watched The Fly the other day.
Jeff Goldblum.
Very, very good movie.
Jeff Goldblum.
It wasn't the first time I saw it, but I watched it again.
I saw it once.
It's really good.
Yeah. What's that guy's name? It begins with a K and is really long and confusing to pronounce.
I don't know.
Man, but he creates messy. That's the pinnacle of 80s nonsense, isn't it?
It's so fun and it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It just keeps going and going and going, and then the thing at the end of the movie happens, and then it just cuts to the credits, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
There's no aftermath of like, this is what happens after.
Yeah, no, it's just like, he fucked up. Like,
yep.
He fucked up, and he became a flyboy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it went.
The movie ends.
And that's what I'm hoping to get out of this podcast is it'll just end and be like, man, he really did that to himself. So we got Ethan Nestor on the podcast.
I'm here.
Welcome to Take It Easy, or let's take it easy. Welcome, everybody. Take it easy. It's a podcast with, we don't have a phrase. I don't know what I'm trying to do there.
No.
Ethan.
Ted.
Welcome. Welcome so much to the pod.
Welcome so much.
Welcome so much. So happy to have you here. You were about to ask me a question.
Was I?
I think so, but that was, it's terrible.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, no.
How does it feel? So
we got to stumble through this intro portion before, so I can become comfortable.
I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
While Tucker's out there,
mm-hmm.
being a new father right
on the front
now,
lines.
Do you kind of feel like you've become a single father in a way, where you guys had this podcast together and you were, you know, nurturing it together and mm-hmm. making it grow and, you know, learning, live, laughing, learning, loving, playing. And then Tucker's gone, and now suddenly you're here all day.
I've got almost 75,000 children I gotta care for,
mm-hmm.
and they think I'm dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah!
They think I'm dead.
How's that been going?
Dude, I'll tell you what. First of all, guys, I'm alive. I mean, it's been, you know, several weeks now since that bit mm-hmm. ended. But contextually, for those that don't know, 3 years ago or something, Schlatt on a video on my main channel predicted that I would die through a t-shirt, predicted mm-hmm. I would die on October 23rd, 2025. And mm-hmm. ever, like, since the clock struck midnight on New Year's,
people have been counting down.
Since 25 became the year. It has been a relentless, just conversation in my comments at all times. It's like my entire audience collectively mm-hmm. has been counting down to that date, which can do a thing to a man.
Yeah, how did that feel? Did it feel like people were a little too excited about it? Or a little too
sometimes,
into it?
Sometimes. Like it was definitely interesting. As it got closer to date, because then people were like, tick tock, Ted, tick tock. Your time is almost up. And I wonder if I had actually died.
Yeah.
I wonder how they would react. Would they feel partly responsible in celebrating it?
Running a business is hard enough. So why make it harder with a dozen different apps that don't talk to each other? One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. Before you know it, you are drowning in software instead of growing your business. This is where Odoo comes in. Odoo is the only business software you'll ever need. It's an all-in-one, fully integrated platform that handles everything. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, and more. No more app overload. No more juggling logins, just one seamless system that makes work easier. And the best part, Odoo replaces multiple expensive platforms for a fraction of the cost. It's built to grow with your business, whether you are just starting out or already scaling up. Plus, it's easy to use, customizable, and designed to streamline every process, so you can focus on what really matters, running your business. Thousands of businesses have made the switch, so why not you? Try Odoo for free at Odoo.com. That's Odoo.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I think that honestly, and I don't mean this disrespectfully.
Okay.
I think that if you had died on October 2025, mm-hmm. I think that the attention actually would shift from you to Schlatt again and be like, hey, man, what the fuck is
happening? Yeah, no, then it would turn from like a silly joke to like, now Schlatt's receiving a subpoena.
Yeah.
You know, now he's speaking in front of Congress. Mm-hmm,
there's a criminal investigation.
Yeah,
happening.
Now they've got like, now the Congress is opening like a committee mm-hmm. into this guy, and they're like, well, how many people did he kill? Like, who has his death's hand touched?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Schlatt would be a little shocked. I think he would, as they say, go to ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we would hear or see Schlatt for a while.
For a really long time.
Yeah. But I'll tell you who was affected the most by this was my mother.
Yeah.
My mother, who I believe I might be able to have on the pod next week, was texting me on a bi-weekly basis to make sure that I was still alive, which is normal usually for a mom anyways. Uh-huh. But it was coming from a different place.
Yeah, how did you feel? Because I'm sure you didn't actually think that you were going to die. But were there times late at night where you were like, oh man, what if something does happen?
I definitely felt like there was a shadow over me for a period. It was definitely like kind of a, like, I don't know, looking into the distance.
What was it like the night before and or the morning of October 23rd? Because it's not like you didn't think about it.
I mean, at that point I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to die. Checking my vitals.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, okay, well, what sort of bit do I have to prepare for this? Mm-hmm. So I decided on October 23rd, 2025, that I wouldn't say anything.
Mm.
And so Schlatt made a post where he was like a bit, like with no indication of a joke for anyone who doesn't know, like mourning me.
It was very funny because it was
genuine.
It felt very genuine. Because he posted like a really nice photo of the two of you.
Very nice photo of the two of us. The only thing that indicates it was a joke was him saying at the beginning, at the end, such a shame you had to die today.
Yeah.
Which, so I was like, okay, he's going to post that. I'm trending on Twitter. And then I just wait all day. And then I'm seeing in like, on Twitter, it was like, Ted's really going to post something right now because I'm starting to get a little nervous.
Yeah.
Like, and some people had, some people we know, and were in the replies to that. Like, I think, you know, Maya Higa,
mm-hmm.
she replied to that, and she was like, this scared the shit out of me at first. Like, there were several people I know personally that saw that post, and their heart sank.
Yeah.
Which, I just wonder what it would be like to be in their shoes, for them to, like, see that post and be like, holy fucking shit, wait, Ted Nivison died.
Ted died?
And then looking through the comments and being like, what kind of joke is this? What kind of weird joke is it? Because the joke is just that.
Yeah.
That Schlatt says I'm going to die on a date, and then he pretends to mourn me.
Multiple times now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, I mean, I think the biggest issue is that he got one, like, right.
Yeah.
Is that he, like, correctly predicted that Prince Philip would die in April of whatever year he died. That's the biggest issue. Because now in doing that, it's like, okay, we're not just like cooking up fun here. Now we're cooking up a cult. Yeah. Now we're cooking up. Now he's starting to turn into a little bit of a prophet.
Yeah.
You know?
Jay Schlatt being a prophet is just really funny.
Just him just like, peace be with you.
Yep.
Just like putting his hand on someone's forehead. June.
I feel like he's got some clairvoyance, you know?
He
can see things that not many others can.
I mean, I think I would like to say that he was not correct with mine, but I think that in all the other cases, I mean, he was doing predictions for like absurdly old people who were like rocking 99% dead on any given week.
Yeah, and they could go at any moment.
Yeah, so I think it's the stats were in his favor, but man, yeah. So,
do you think he's betting money on this? Is he doing like parlays with death and stuff?
Yeah, what's that like? There's like a website that's getting big now. It's like Carber or something like that. Kibir. I love it when I can't remember words.
Yes.
Is that your favorite thing that ever happens to you? Because I know it happens. I know that shit happens to
you. Oh, it happens to me all the time when I don't remember how to speak anymore.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a perfect thing for a podcast host.
Yes,
it's made things very not frustrating for me at all.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I didn't need to know the specific betting website, but the fact that I couldn't.
So do you think that he's been profiting off of this?
I could.
Do you think he lost a lot of money because you didn't die?
I would be, if I found out that he was betting, this friend of mine of more than 5 years,
okay, but
was betting on my demise.
Yeah,
would
you be upset? Because Schlatt spent, what was it, $95,000 or something on that ape statue?
I think I'd be a little bit frustrated with him.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a little bit frustrated with him.
How much money would it be? Like, if he bet $100,
would that be? $100. Okay, well, that's not Schlatt
money.
You know?
So, like, what's the number that he would have had to spend? When does it cross
a boundary?
Yeah.
What money does someone betting on your life cross a personal boundary where there is
offense? Is it four figures? Is it five? It's got to be five,
dude,
right?
It has to be four figures. Four figures? Because then it's like, what are you staying? Like, because the odds that I'm dying pretty low, pretty young. So if he's betting 1,000, like the payout has to be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars of me dying. So, like, he bet enough so he could tell how much he stood to gain from it.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I don't know if I'd get more offended if it was a higher number or a lower number, actually.
Yeah, right.
Because then it's like, if it's a lower number, it's like, oh, well, you only felt like it was reasonable to receive that much money for my death. Now, because then it puts a number to the value of my death.
Yeah, because what if it was only like $15? I think that's almost offensive.
Yeah, it's less than a DoorDash.
Yeah,
that's the Dasher tip.
Yeah, you could spend $15 on a drink.
Sometimes more.
Yeah.
Man, not even worth an LA margarita.
Mm,
no. That would be offensive.
Yeah, it would be.
But at the end of the day, I did survive.
Mm-hmm. You're here.
And I think the most frustrating thing about me surviving is that, like, people are trying to keep it going. Now everyone's like, it's like he's still here.
Mm-hmm.
I can still hear his voice.
Yeah, wait, have you posted since your death?
I posted, I quote retweeted his post, and I was like, I lived, bitch. Mm-hmm. And then I put it. It's just like me going like this with a slowly fading in thing of Friday, October 24th, 2025, playing Schlatt's cover of My Way.
And you haven't posted since then?
Oh, no, I haven't posted since then. I did think about the fact that I was like, this is a photo, so people could be like, edited. But also, why do I have to work hard to convince these people?
Yeah. Okay, now here's a question.
Running a business is hard enough. So why make it harder with a dozen different apps that don't talk to each other? One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. Before you know it, you are drowning in software instead of growing your business. This is where Odoo comes in. Odoo is the only business software you'll ever need. It's an all-in-one, fully integrated platform that handles everything. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, and more. No more app overload. No more juggling logins, just one seamless system that makes work easier. And the best part, Odoo replaces multiple expensive platforms for a fraction of the cost. It's built to grow with your business, whether you are just starting out or already scaling up. Plus, it's easy to use, customizable, and designed to streamline every process so you can focus on what really matters, running your business. Thousands of businesses have made the switch, so why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabay Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabay sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Okay.
It's been close to a week. Tomorrow will be a week, right? Is today Wednesday? Yeah.
Yeah, today's Wednesday.
So tomorrow will be a week from your supposed death day.
Yeah.
If you died tomorrow,
it'd be like, oh, okay, he's like a delayed hit. Like I got hit with like a wave of curse poison. And
yeah, would you be kind of upset that it didn't happen a week before?
Yeah, because then it's like, well, no, I couldn't give him the satisfaction.
Oh, okay.
That would give Schlatt far too much power.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that there would be like an initial huge mourning period, an initial huge level of suspicion of Schlatt. Mm-hmm. But then beyond that point, I mean, he could run for office. Like, he could do anything. he could do a lot of damage with that amount of cult power behind him. Like,
Ted Nivison dies, and then Schlatt runs for office.
Runs for office and ends with, like, his own version of Heaven's Gate. Like,
I could really see a Heaven's Gate scenario happening with Schlatt.
Oh,
100%.
Dude, brother is going to be having them drink more than Kool-Aid. He's going to be like, I don't know, he could, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, he's going to have them empty their life savings, then drink the Kool-Aid, and he's just going to drink regular Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Do you think that he would drink Kool-Aid, though, or do you think it would be like Gamer Subs or something?
Honestly, yeah, no, he would drink Gamer Subs. It would be, it would be like a Gamer Subs flavor he released called Heaven's Gate.
Yeah.
And people were like, this isn't suspicious at all. But like,
and then
the whole product is laced.
Mm-hmm. Someone's keeping tabs on him, right?
I think that he, you know, he's a bit underground. I think he's a little hard. He doesn't live, you know, he doesn't live in like one of the content creator hubs. So
no,
he's
moved.
Yeah, he moved.
Man, I don't talk to Schlatt that often, but it seemed, I'm jealous that he moved somewhere else because I feel like he's probably so much happier.
Before we keep going, this episode is sponsored once again by Brunt. Everybody knows this, guys. We are the number one blue-collar podcast on the internet. That's never been a question. Nobody's wondered about that. And when Tucker's not doing this podcast, he's out working on his own landscaping business, working long hours in the sun. And I make YouTube videos. We're a blue-collar podcast, which is why we're excited to be sponsored by Brunt today. Choosing work boots used to mean sacrificing comfort or durability. If they felt good, they wouldn't last, and if they lasted, they'd wreck your feet. But the folks at Brunt thought that was BS, so they built tough boots to feel great from day one of wearing them. No breaking in, no sore feet, because people out there doing the real work shouldn't have to choose between comfort or durability. Founder Eric Girard grew up blue-collar and started Brunt Workwear after his buddies in the trades were telling him that big brands had stopped listening, hadn't changed, and had sold out to become fashion. Brand. That's why all Brunt products are named after the guys that he grew up with, real hardworking tradesmen. Brunt sent me a pair. I was wearing them the other week. These are the Marin boots, and they were not lying. These things are super comfortable right out of the box. As I said last time, I'd probably compare them to the feel of my favorite hiking boots, so I know I'd be able to be on my feet for long hours. And Brunt isn't just about work boots. They offer a full range of gear built for tough jobs, from heavy-duty work pants to weather-resistant jackets. With the temperature dropping and the holidays coming up, it's time to treat yourself or the hard-working man in your life to real comfort. Skip the throwaway gifts and get them something built to last. Brunt Workwear. For a limited time, easy goers, our listeners get $10 off at Brunt when you use code TAKEITEASY at checkout. Just head to bruntworkwear.com and use the code TAKEITEASY.
And you're good to go.
After you order, they'll ask you where you heard about Brunt. Do us a favor and tell us that we sent you. Thanks for listening to the sponsor, folks. And let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, yeah. I think that sometimes
just being away from it all.
Sometimes I murmur the thought in my head of like, oh, what it'd be like to live in New York City Mm-hmm. But then I just don't get why New York City isn't like, it's more of like a TikTok hub, I feel like.
I don't even think it's much of, and I don't know, because I've only
at least all there. The TikTokers that are making some sort of career beyond TikTok.
Because when I think of creators in New York, all I think about is Casey Neistat.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Well, what about, I mean, one I think about is the Veronica, the new SNL member.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Forgive me, I'm not going to be able to pronounce her last name.
I don't know her last name, I'm sorry.
Slovakiska.
That's pretty much right. Yeah.
But, and then there's the other guy that went on SNL, Jeremy?
Yes.
Jeremy? Angela is friends with him.
Yes. I can't remember his last name. It's right there.
But we're having trouble with the last name.
I know who you're talking about. Okay. I know who you're talking about. We're both having trouble with words. I didn't take my meds today, and I forgot.
You want a hit?
No.
What are you rocking? What do you rock?
Vyvanse, 40 milligrams.
Concerta.
Nice.
63.
Oh, 63 is interesting.
27 and 36, both taken.
Wow. At the same time?
Right there? 36. Yeah, I think.
At the same time or later?
What?
63?
I got this react. I got.
It's not that crazy.
Is it not?
I don't know. Like, it's a high dose.
I started
but...
with 36 when I was in high school, and then I've, like, remember. When I was in college or something, I was still going to the pediatrician, mm-hmm. as one does. And I was like, at one point, I think I had gone through a period, you know when you don't take your meds for a little bit, and mm-hmm. then you go back on, and then you get anxious because you're remembering everything that you have to do that you've been putting off? Mm-hmm. I was feeling that, but I hadn't really understood what it was. And I talked to him, and I was like, yeah, sometimes I just feel a little bit anxious. And he was like, well, what if we go up? And I said, and I thought to myself, that's a little strange. It's a little strange, kind of a, not the reaction I expected, but I was like, you know.
Well, especially when you're younger, it's like the doctor recommends something and you go, I guess.
And he was cool. Sure. And he's a cool doctor too. Uh-huh. He was a cool doctor. Yeah.
And how did that pan out? Did you get more or less anxious?
I don't really know what happened, but I think I'm always kind of got that worm in the back of my head that's telling me, this could be doing serious damage to your blood.
Yeah.
Or like, I feel like, I imagine in my head is like, me taking the medicines making my blood move faster and it's wearing down my veins like a road.
It's definitely not good for your cardiovascular system, I don't think.
Yeah, that's probably why they ask about it all the time.
Yeah, because they have to take your blood pressure and stuff. And I was put on Adderall in seventh grade. And I was put on, like, I think I was put on 20 milligrams.
Mm-hmm. I also started it in the seventh grade as well.
Yeah.
And they take you out of your language class?
It took me out of my everything. I, like, stopped speaking.
Oh, no, I mean, like, it took me out of my everything. It pulled me out of our universe, and I was just fucking Matthew McConaughey banging on the fucking 5D wall. That's
literally what it felt like I was a husk of a person. I was just this husk. I was a shell moving through space, and I didn't speak anymore.
It was so bad.
I was so over medicated.
Yeah.
It was really bad. Wait, what happened to your language class?
So basically what they did was I was getting like an F in French in seventh grade.
You were French.
I was.
I was Spanish.
Eventually I switched to Spanish in high school, but in middle school they pulled me out of that language. They just were like, you don't need to take the language class anymore. We're going to put you in Learning Center, which was honestly really helpful for me. I would say that ADHD medicine changed the trajectory of my school life, in high school at least. Mm-hmm. And the Learning Center was great because it was basically a place you could just go where there would just be people there that would help you do homework and help you organize and help you do...
Did they have like bouncy balls and stuff?
No, it wasn't... No.
That's where I went.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, in sixth and seventh grade, I went to some room in the basement...
Oh.
Of the school.
Away from the peering eyes of the normies.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was this really lovely woman. I don't remember her name, but she was very gentle. And I remember part of it happened during recess. And I would look out and see the other kids playing, because there was those weird basement windows that were like really high up,
yeah,
high up thin ones, and I would see the other children play, and I would say,
so wait, they would, you would do this during recess?
Yeah,
they wouldn't let you go to recess.
Yeah, which doesn't seem right for a kid with like a hyperactive.
This kid's struggling.
Disorder.
Let's isolate him socially.
Yeah,
let's get him away from where he could do any more damage.
It's really good. I only remember that for 6th and 7th grade.
Yeah, with the learning center, it was like you would think that they would be like kind of like gentle teachers, but I remember the women that were in there were like they're all tough broads. You know, they were.
Were there other kids?
They were given like
there?
A lot of tough love, you know, because a lot of those kids in that, yeah, there was like several other people that were all people that struggled in the same way I did, and you know, I feel like when you have ADHD when you're a kid, there's like maybe a 75% higher likelihood that you're like a class clown or you have, you know, different troubles. So like, it was good that those women were like very much so like they were like, hey. Pulled together.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't taking any bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I got into, I did like the equivalent a little bit in high school for maybe like 1 or 2 years. But at a certain point, I kind of like graduated out of it. And so it was very helpful for me. It was like, I think that, I like to think that I'm not a victim of like one of those like things where doctors are just like slinging out ADHD medicine any kid that has like I feel like I genuinely truly
live
with it every day.
I feel like I really needed it, but I didn't get like proper testing at all.
Oh, okay.
No.
Did you ever get a test?
No.
You could still do it now and like
I guess I could. I never got any tests. It was just, we went into the doctor's office, and my parents were like, yeah, he gets really bad grades, and he can't focus,
and
he's
just, like,
hyperactive. And they were like, all right, here's Adderall.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's my memory of it.
Yeah, I remember when in 7th grade, I took, like, a full day off school, and we went to, it took a whole day as well. Like, I remember having mozzarella sticks for lunch. I probably had something else, but I remember the mozzarella sticks because that remains to be one of my favorite snacks.
Nice.
But they'd had me do like a lot of like, you know, visual sort of tests that I don't really know how much of a bearing they had. But like one of the things I remember very well was they gave me a page of words. And what was interesting about it was basically like red, blue, green, yellow, blue, yellow, green, but then the colors of the text of the words were different. So like a yellow would be red. And then they would say, read the words, and they would have me go as fast as possible to read the words, and then they would say the color of each thing.
Maybe I did do that then. Because I remember taking a similar test, but I remember that test being when I got a concussion. And they were testing to see if I had a concussion or not.
So maybe it's like a general cognitive test, that part of it or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know enough about psychology to know at what point were they actually testing for ADHD. Because they would be like, do this test. And then like, I think I've always been interested in knowing what information they got from each, you know, part of those tests. But I feel like I'd have to go to fucking school for that, which I'm not interested in doing.
I don't want to ever go back there. I don't want to. Do you still have dreams about high school? I have nightmares about high school still. To this day.
I don't think I do. There was a period where when I first got out of college, I would sometimes wake up thinking I was late or I'd slept through a class. But
did you go to film school?
Yeah. I went to Ithaca College. So Ithaca. It wasn't like, it was kind of like a lower tier. I didn't have the grades for even with the ADHD meds and all the support. I didn't have the grades for fun.
Running a business is hard enough. So why make it harder with a dozen different apps that don't talk to each other? One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. Before you know it, you are drowning in software instead of growing your business. This is where Odoo comes in. Odoo is the only business software you'll ever need.
It's an all-in-one, fully integrated platform that handles everything. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, and more. No more app overload. No more juggling logins. Just one seamless system that makes work easier. And the best part? Odoo replaces multiple expensive platforms for a fraction of the cost. It's built to grow with your business, whether you are just starting out or already scaling up. Plus, it's easy to use, customizable, and designed to streamline every process so you can focus on what really matters, running your business. Thousands of businesses have made the switch, so why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change, and certain restrictions may apply.
In like a USC or something like that, but I liked Ithaca. I think it was good, and I thought it was a good time. You know who does have wakes up and has bad dreams of past experiences? Tucker's told me this before because he was in the Marines.
That's right.
He will wake up. Well, he'll have dreams first of all, where he will dream that he is back at boot camp. He's like, you know, he ended the Marines as like a sergeant or something like mm-hmm. that. And like the kind of the context of the dream is him being like, no, you don't understand. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm a sergeant. And then like they're not listening to him. And then he'll also like wake up sometimes and think that he's like late for whatever, the like being on duty or being in the I think he was in the tanks or like toes or something like that. Whatever, like, I think it, when he was in the tank battalion or whatever, they had to be in like this sort of like bay at a certain time, and so he wakes up with anxiety that he's like missing those things. So he's very good at waking up in the morning and is like, you know, I think there's been very few times that I've ever woken up before Tucker.
I don't have the discipline for it anymore.
Yeah, the only time was when I was doing my morning routine video, and he happened to be visiting at the time, and I would wake up, and it was like probably the most locked in we were, where it was like I would wake up at fucking 4 a.m. and he was doing it like no problem. And I'm like, how the fuck
did you do that on purpose while he was here?
It just kind of lined up that way, but it ended up being cool because he always wants to, when he's out here, he's a big gym guy, so he always wants to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. So it just like worked out well.
How was that looking back on it now that you've had
it's
time to
I think
live
it's
normally.
One of those things where it was like such a long week because I was awake for so long. But
did you go to bed at night?
Well, sometimes I would go to bed at like 10, and then mm-hmm. I would only get like less than 6 hours of sleep.
Because you were waking up at 4.
But a lot of the time, I'd try to get to bed by like 8:30 or 9.
Yeah.
I really, realistically, like that lifestyle is so hard to live because, you know, no, like the world is still awake up until like 10 p.m. or something. Yeah. Like going to bed, like I'll see the stuff from Ashton Hall, and he's like going to bed at like 7:30 or 8, and I'm like, dude,
why?
Yeah. It's like you're not living your life. You're just, it's. But the thing is, though, waking up with the sunrise and like going to the gym on a daily basis and getting out of the house, I think mm-hmm. provided me a sense of structure that I really don't have doing the job that we do.
It is really nice waking up because I used to have a stint where I would wake up really early And it is nice because no one else is up. So you have this nice downtime where you're like, okay, I can do whatever I need to do between this hour and this hour. And I know that no one's going to hit me up.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times when I wake up early in the morning, I'll just play a video game.
Mm-hmm.
But
you play video games right in the morning?
Damn,
a true gamer.
Yeah, dude. Well, have you been playing Battlefield at all? Battlefield 6?
I played for one night, but I haven't played since.
Yeah, you're not that. You're not a Battlefield guy.
I just never was into Battlefield. Mm. But it does. It was really fun though when I did play. And I played it like a month ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they just released like. There's a lot of talk within the Battlefield community because they just released a like battle royale mode for it, which I tried a little bit. And it's like, it's okay. But I think the thing is, like, I'm so sick of fucking Battle Royales. Like,
yeah.
It's just like.
It's the same formula over and over again, obviously.
Yeah. It's, so it's like, there's only so much you can get out of, like, a shooting game and stuff. Like, and I'm starting to get to the point in gaming where I kind of already got to with TV shows where I feel like now, like, I feel like I'm on catch up with things that I haven't played yet. I haven't played fucking Tears of the Kingdom.
No, I haven't played it.
Like, I was supposed to play that right after, like, I think it came out right around when Eddie and I finished our Margaritaville trip.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm going to play Tears of the Kingdom. It's going to be a good time. And I was like, oh, yeah, me too. Never played it.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, that new one out, Exhibition.
Yeah, I just started playing that.
Is it Exhibition or is it Expedition?
Expedition 33, Claire Obscure, Expedition 33.
Yeah, and like, it's really and like, good. Obviously, like Jarvis and Jordan and Eddie, they were dressed as that at the Halloween party. Like, so I need to try that.
It's really good.
I know, and I've heard it's really good. And then there's like shows I haven't watched. Like, I need to fucking watch. I've been telling Eddie for like 2 years that I gotta watch fucking Succession.
I am so bad at shows. I don't know why.
And I've been telling Tucker I'm going to check out Better Call Saul.
Uh-huh.
I haven't done that.
I haven't watched Better Call Saul. I haven't watched Succession.
Yeah.
I watched Severance. That's the first show in years that I watched.
That's an easier hit, I feel like. Better Call Saul, what's that? Fucking 7 seasons?
Yeah, then it's like 6 or 7 seasons.
Yeah, and then you've got Succession. That's like 4 seasons of hour-long episodes each. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're just... That's like a, you know... I just gotta lock in.
You just need to start. You need to do kind of like the reverse of the like gym bro schedule, where you wake up. You still wake up at like 4 a.m., but then you're just watching TV shows all day.
Yeah. You know what I need to do? I need to do right by my education and right by the fact that I actually try to like direct and actually watch more movies. That's something I feel like I've never been good at, is that like keeping up with the movies that are coming out and watching them and having an active and diverse letterbox.
Yeah. I want to do the same. I want to really commit this year. I said that I would do it last year and I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch minimum every Best Picture nom, but I would like to watch, ideally, I don't know if I will be able to do it. I would like to watch everything that is nominated for an Oscar this year.
That's a good plan, I feel like. Yeah. How many movies that usually is?
It's probably like 30 or something.
Okay.
It's probably a fair amount.
Okay.
I don't know.
There was like something I was seeing on TikTok of a guy watching like a movie every day. And he was like going through them all, and I was like,
a movie every day on paper doesn't seem that bad.
You know, if you're doing this morning schedule, you just watch a movie in the morning or something like that.
Watching a movie in the morning is actually kind of underrated.
Really?
I did that semi recently. Why did I do that? I can't remember. But I watched a movie in the morning and it was really great.
Yeah.
It was really nice. You just have a little
cup. If you think about it though, like the number that you'd get to after a year is like 365. That's like a lot of movies.
That's
but
a
like
lot of movies.
But like in the grand scheme, I mean, I've definitely seen more than 365 movies in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I would just have like such great knowledge, you know, knowledge.
Your letterboxd would be really good.
Yeah.
Really diverse.
Right now it's like a bunch of movies that I saw when I remember to do it, mm-hmm. and then all the Barbie movies.
Yep. Yeah, how was that? You have an extensive knowledge on the Barbie movies now.
I do. Yeah, I watched. How many of those? I mean, it's been like 2 years since I watched them all. Because I watched them all in May of 2023.
How many of them are there?
There was 42. Now I think there's 43 or maybe 44 because they release one like every year.
Best one, worst one.
I think purely from a nostalgic basis, because I watched them when I was a kid, I would say the Barbie and the Nutcracker is my favorite. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a classic, and the music's good, obviously, because it's a fucking Nutcracker. Worst one, Barbie and her sisters in a puppy chase.
Is that the title?
Yeah. It's like from like 2016.
Barbie and her sisters.
Barbie and her sisters in a puppy chase. You know that she has three sisters?
Oh, I didn't know
Chelsea.
That.
Uh-huh. Well, used to be Kelly, but... You know, there's a whole clone thing about that.
Wait, hold on. She had a sister named Chelsea.
Yeah, she started off with a sister named Kelly.
Yeah.
And then Kelly disappeared. And then all of a sudden, she's now got a sister named Chelsea.
Why?
Well, I think that, you know, in my Barbie video, I go into the whole lore behind this, what I think my theory is. But I think that Barbie, in the beginning of those movies, it was always like, Kelly was trying to do something with Barbie, like paint or dance, and she would always get frustrated because she doesn't know how to do something. And then Barbie would like tell her this whole story that ended up being the movie to make her feel better or teach her a lesson or something. But I think that after Barbie could not fucking teach Kelly how to do shit, she started getting frustrated and she got rid of her. I think she killed Kelly, and then she brought in Chelsea, because I think that Barbie and all of her sisters are a like a squad of clones that are,
well, what if they're not
trained by the oldest Barbie over time, so that that's why she's good at everything, is because it's just a series of clones.
What if it's not clones? What if it's something different and more sinister? What if they're fact toys, or maybe even dolls?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, dude. That's ridiculous.
It's just
that's
a theory.
Ridiculous. Clearly, Barbie and all of her clones are trying to learn as much information as they can, so that eventually, at the end of the timeline, in Barbie, like the space Barbie. There's a space Barbie.
There's a space Barbie. Naturally.
Yeah, where she's called Barbie and she can use the force.
Is there a military Barbie movie? Is there like a Saving Private Ryan?
There's a spy Barbie movie.
Okay.
There's Barbie Spy Squad.
Okay.
But
where's that rank?
That one was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good one.
Wait, what was the length of time in which you watched all these movies?
6 days.
Whew.
I watched 42 movies in 6 days.
And they're feature length? Like 90 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then there was also like the weird ones where they did a couple Netflix interactive ones. Mm-hmm. So I had to watch those.
Running a business is hard enough. So why make it harder with a dozen different apps that don't talk to each other? One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. Before you know it, you are drowning in software instead of growing your business. This is where Odoo comes in. Odoo is the only business software you'll ever need. It's an all-in-one, fully integrated platform that handles everything. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, and more. No more app overload. No more juggling logins. Just one seamless system that makes work easier. And the best part? Odoo replaces multiple expensive platforms for a fraction of the cost. It's built to grow with your business, whether you are just starting out or already scaling up. Plus, it's easy to use, customizable, and designed to streamline every process so you can focus on what really matters, running your business. Thousands of businesses have made the switch, so why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
Life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime.
Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
And those were a pain because then sometimes I'd get it wrong and it would put me back at the beginning portion of the movie.
Oh, so it's like a choose your own adventure kind of
thing? Yeah, yeah. You know how like Black Mirror Bandersnatch?
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like that, yeah. Where it was like you had to make a choice and mm-hmm. on the screen. And yeah, but I am very proud of that video, though. I think that's one of the best videos I've made. And I'm glad that I stuck through it because it was like an idea I had since like 2020.
Yeah.
And I didn't really... But it was like, you know, you ever have those ideas where mm-hmm. you're just like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But then it's like, it just, there's like such a, but you kind of know in your core, it's like, it's a banger.
Yeah.
So it's just, you have to take the time to do it. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you about you. We've talked a lot about me. I want to ask you about you. You're a big, I've always wondered this. You're a big film guy. You've got your own, is it a Red?
I do have a Red. I have two Reds.
You have two Reds.
Yeah, I have two Reds that I barely ever use. I have two Komodos.
What are your aspirations in the category of film in that regard? Is it that you are a big camera guy and you just really love camera technology, or do you have like aspirations to like direct stuff or make a project of some sort with?
Little bit of both. I like camera stuff a lot. I like mm-hmm. gear stuff a lot. I've always really liked that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. I like shooting stuff a lot, and I don't shoot a lot of stuff because most of the time I'm in front of the camera.
Right.
But yeah, every once in a while I'll like DP random stuff just like shoot random things for people.
Yeah.
I like shooting stuff. I've always really liked camera stuff because since
you're more
a
of like a kind of like a in your head, it's like a DP kind of interest then.
Yeah. Yeah, or just like even just like normal cam oping stuff. Like mm-hmm. I like being behind the camera a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't get the chance to do it a lot. I don't like directing.
You don't like directing?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't really done a lot of it, but I much prefer to, I mean, maybe I would like directing if I was doing like a director's, if I was one of those kind of directors that was behind the camera and actually shooting it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like being behind the camera.
Like director DP combo. I wonder, yeah. Like, how often does that happen? Because it's...
Like, not a lot of
people.
Yeah,
it's not very often.
Like, the only kind of people that I can think... Like, I think James Cameron does that.
Really?
Oh, I think, maybe. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess... So when I was in school, I was working in like the rental house equivalent of the Ithaca, which was PPEX, mm-hmm. Park Portable Checkout and Equipment. Park Portable Equipment Checkout.
PPEX?
Camera Checkout and Services or something like that. PPEX. And it was like my job. Like that was honestly my last, like closest to normal job that I had before I was a YouTuber, which is crazy to think about. But I worked a lot with like the kind of camera technology, especially when you did PPEX Pro, because then you get to
PPEX
start.
Pro.
I wasn't in actually PPEX Pro, because that was the stuff where you get to work with the actual cinema cameras. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, it's like, you know, you've got like a fucking...
Was it all like 5Ds?
It was, they were like weird. Like they were like these weird like Panasonic cameras. Like they were like these big camcorders, like the ones you get for Cinema Production One. It wasn't like a lot of like DSLR type stuff. And then there was also like the occasional like film camera, like they had like Bolexes, which mm-hmm. are just like the crank.
Yeah.
Like old ones from like the 50s.
I've never shot anything on film. And I think that would be really cool. I'm so afraid of that, though.
It's stressful, dude.
It seems so stressful.
I wasn't even... I directed a thing that was shot mm-hmm. on film, and that was... We shot on 35mm. And that was cool, though. It was, like, very neat, because it was, like... You know, because... I mean, it's a big factor in, like, the budget and the stuff, where it's, like... Luckily, I mean, in that particular project, the DP, Shane, he had just gotten off of, like, some sort of... It was in Korea and had DP'd some sort of ad for like the Samsung Flip with Sydney Sweeney, So I think he had gotten a good rate for that. So he had come back and we were shooting this music video that we were doing. And he was like, I guess he saw the concept and he was like, I don't even need to take a rate if we can just shoot it on film. And I'm like, okay, fuck sure. Yeah. Nice, nice.
It's so cool when you shoot stuff on film. But I would be so stressed. Yeah. I'd be so stressed about it.
Yeah, I definitely had a lot of fun because I worked at a camera rental house as an internship. And like, you know, BNC cables, come on.
There you go. Come
boom,
on.
Boom, boom, boom. You know, gold mount battery.
Y'all know about BNC cables?
Yeah, like come this, on. Me setting this up, that's for the leftover knowledge.
We were just talking about gold mount batteries. Gold mount batteries. Any of you knowers out there?
Yeah, any of those woke people out there. But I think that the issue for me is in the one category that I don't think I fully understand when it comes to if I was going to be like a DP or something, is that I don't think I really get lighting.
Lighting's difficult, and it's still something that like I have a really hard time with. Like I think that I have a good eye for shooting stuff, and I really like particular movements with cameras, but lighting is really, really tough.
Yeah.
It's very tough, and it takes a really long time to figure out.
Yeah, because then it's like when you're DPing something, you kind of have to have like a working relationship with like a gaffer, and like you kind of have to like, I don't know, just know how you want to control that. And I think what I discovered is that I feel like I think like an editor. Like I just showed you like the thing where the previs for the one that I'm working on now, and like I think like an editor, and I like to assemble a whole project together under one vision, and like the camera stuff is like a part of that, but it's like as long as I can find people that I know are good enough, then it's like it'll probably, and I can have like an idea of what I want, but like I don't know. That's what's so fun about film is that like you kind of assemble all these people who you've got an idea of how you want something to look, but like they're coming in and that's their whole role is doing that, and they'll take it, and it's just like all these like little seeds of ideas that you have, and they all just like elevate it, and it like just becomes this beautiful garden of like different species that everyone is very, very good at tending to.
I think that that is like such a good tip for anybody in the creative space, specifically with video stuff, is like I've seen so many people, specifically since 2020, because so many creators popped off because of like streaming and stuff, and it's been super interesting seeing a bunch of streamers who are huge and like now are transitioning over to YouTube, but all because they have been successful with streaming, they're just able to like hire editors right away.
Yeah,
I think for anybody who wants to make stuff on the internet, the thing that you should learn is how to edit. Like, I think it's such a solid, because one, you can edit your own stuff if you need to in a pinch, but two, just like having the editing brain, I think helps translate ideas so well if you're working with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I think that my biggest issue when it comes to like hiring editors is that, and I don't want to sound egotistical when I say this, but I'm also okay if people perceive me as being that. Like, I kind of need editors that are as good as me.
Yeah. No, definitely.
And I just feel like I'm pretty damn good at editing.
Yep.
And, like, you know, there's just different categories that editors exist in, I think, in the space, too. Like, there are a lot of really talented editors, but those editors get swooped up and they are on salary with different creators. And then there's just a lot of people who just kind of like know how to edit like a gaming video kind of well and can subtitle. And then it's like, well.
I agree, because like I also, I've been editing since I was 15, I guess. Yeah, 15.
Crack Sony Vegas?
No, no.
Well, I admitted to a crime.
It was cracked Premiere before that.
No, it wasn't. It was this other torrented project.
Well, it was really
listen,
funny.
Children are poor. They don't have any money.
Yeah.
And those things were like, even back then, they were $500 or something to get the thing.
I did Final Cut for like a little tiny bit, like a year maybe. Yeah. And then I switched to Premiere. And I remember when I was 16, my mom found out that I had torrented Premiere. And she...
Did she understood what that meant?
Yeah, so she understood because both of my parents are graphic designers.
Oh.
And so she was like, oh, you torrented Premiere and you torrented Photoshop.
And they,
like,
wow, and they knew that what that shit meant.
Yeah. And so my mom got really upset and she did the parent thing back then of like, this is a crime. The cops are going to come to the house, blah, 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 blah. And then she was like, Mark, get in here, which is my dad.
Yeah.
And she was like, tell him about how this is bad. And she left the room. And he was like, every program that I have is illegal. You're fine. He's like,
dude, it's so when she comes back here, we got to act like I'm pissed at you, but like, I don't fucking give a shit, dude. Yeah. Like, keep doing that shit. You're gonna, like,
that's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, that is like the depth. Well, that's fuck. Man, I'm jealous of you. You know why? I'm jealous of you because, granted, I had parents that were definitely very supportive of, like, when I was interested in art. Like, I think the first thing, I wanted to be a graphic designer when I was a kid. Mm. Like, it started off as me making, like, comics when I was younger. And so I got really into drawing. And then they put me in, like, drawing class. They put me in a manga class.
Ooh.
When I was a kid. And that's how, like...
Like, through your school or...
It was, like, they were, like, paying for it. It was, like, that's very cool. It was, like, a class that I went to on certain days of the week. It was, like, my extracurricular thing I was doing.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, they were definitely very supportive of it. But, like, my dad's, like, a football guy. Like, he still does it. He's been reffing for football for, like, 30 years.
Yeah.
So, I tried Pop Warner football. I didn't like getting hit, you know?
I also would not like getting hit at all.
Yeah, I was a sensitive kid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so cool that, like, your parents, like, worked in, like, a creative industry. That's them. I've never known, like, what that's like to have parents that kind of, like, understand that, like, because in a way, when I think of myself, I'm like, I'm like a first generation artist.
Yeah.
In my family, you know.
Yeah, all of my whole family has kind of been different kinds of artists. So my grandfather, on my mom's side, was a photographer, and then my grandmother she did a lot of like interior design kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then both of my parents were graphic designers, and then my dad also did some animation stuff.
That's so cool.
So he taught me how to edit.
Really?
Like, he didn't really know how to edit a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But he taught me the basics of Final Cut.
That's so neat. I think that the one contribution my dad had actually to the process, maybe that probably butterfly effect into me being interested in like YouTube and all this stuff, is that I originally wanted to be able to play Minecraft, and I wanted like a gaming laptop. Mm-hmm. For that. So I was trying to ask for that, something like that, for Christmas or something. My dad was like, because he would work as like a project designer, and like he knows computers. Like I think he shifted from trying to be a doctor in college to like computer science or something. Or maybe just like general business, I don't know. But whatever, he knew computers, and he was like, you don't want a gaming laptop. Because at the time, they were kind of like not, in 2011, they weren't really.
Yeah, they weren't great.
They weren't great. So he was like, what we're going to do is build you a computer.
Hell
yeah. So he helped me like pick out parts, and he helped me like we built it together.
Yeah.
And that was, I actually have it, it's downstairs in my office. It's by my.
That's awesome.
I tried turning it on like a month ago or something. It doesn't turn on
anymore.
I need to figure out if I can bring it somewhere to see if they can, because there might be files on there of like just like old like original YouTube videos on there that like I think that it's, you know, it's been more than 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think hard drives like that can really degrade over time, so I might not be able to access it, but I think that I should try that soon.
I built my first PC. My dad knew a lot about computers, but he was more of a Mac guy.
Yeah.
But when I built my first computer, I was too afraid to install the CPU. And so I made him do it. I was like, I am so afraid.
I feel like
that
to
I'm
this day, I'm terrified of the concept of accidentally putting some static onto, like, mm-hmm. I, the, I eventually, after college and having being a little bit more liquid with my money, I started just kind of buying pre-builds.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain one time, I got a pre-build and I didn't have enough RAM and I, not RAM, storage space. So I installed like an SSD into it.
Yeah.
And this was like a few months ago. And I was like, okay. And like really just like being really Freaking nervous about it. Yeah.
The next PC that I have, I need to build it because the last two PCs I've had have been pre-builds and they have both had such random problems and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's been a headache. So the next one that I get, which might be soon because my PC's been just randomly blue screening, I think.
Dude, mine's been doing a little bit of blue screening as well. Like I was having a great game of Call of Duty with Tucker, Battlefield with Tucker the other day, and him and I were sniping together. We're like one of us goes down. We're
reviving
the other. We were getting kills. We were at the top of the leaderboard. Mm-hmm. Blue screen. I'm like,
running a business is hard enough. So why make it harder with a dozen different apps that don't talk to each other? One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. Before you know it, you are drowning in software instead of growing your business. This is where Odoo comes in. Odoo is the only business software you'll ever need. It's an all-in-one, fully integrated platform that handles everything. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, and more. No more app overload. No more juggling logins. Just one seamless system that makes work easier. And the best part? Odoo replaces multiple expensive platforms for a fraction of the cost. It's built to grow with your business, whether you are just starting out or already scaling up. Plus, it's easy to use, customizable, and designed to streamline every process so you can focus on what really matters, running your business. Thousands of businesses have made the switch, so why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change, and certain restrictions may apply.
End of the night.
Yeah.
Can't come back from that.
Actually, I managed to actually rejoin his game. And,
really?
and work it back up. But it was like a blue screen is like, it's like getting punched in the face.
I don't know why it happens to me so often. It probably happens once a week to me.
Okay, well, that's more than it's happened. I'm talking like, I think happened. In total, like, well, usually what I found is that, or this might just be kind of like a vibe thing that I'm feeling, but you know, there's central cooling and heating in this apartment, but like I think that the upstairs is where it determines what the heat should be.
Uh-huh.
So downstairs can get just like warmer, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when it's too warm in that room, the computer will overheat sometimes. Yeah. And I think that might be what's going on, just like a I don't know, the computer overheating, but I don't know. I gotta figure that shit out. Do you know what I've thought of doing? Doing the ultimate pre-build.
What is the ultimate pre-build?
I sometimes will go on, you know, budget systems.
And just maxing everything
just
out?
Just making the most maximum computer that I can possibly.
So it's like a $35,000 computer?
What I got to with one pre-build that I like saved, and I was like, it was like ridiculous where I haven't pulled the trigger on it, but it was like I would be able to have this computer for all time. And like I don't update my car, so I'm like, I guess what I would spend on a car, I could put on this computer. It was like the quote was like $15,000.
Yep.
And it, but it was like the this it would have been able to render a feature film in like 10 minutes.
So you think it would, wouldn't you?
I think it would, but
how many VFX shots you got going on in that feature though? Because that's when it really when it gets crazy. Mm-hmm. And you got to do a render farm, and you got to do all this stuff.
Oh, render farm! Yeah, I haven't gotten to that point. I haven't gotten to that point yet. Do you know what's funny? Do you ever have like a friendship or relationship with someone who's done a thing that you want to be able to do someday as well? Mm-hmm. And you've talked about it with them, mm-hmm. and they motivate you to try to do it. But now, whenever you see them,
yes,
they'll bring it up.
Yes.
How's that thing going? And you haven't done it yet.
Yes,
I have that in two separate categories with two different people. Yes. In the kind of career space. I have that with stand-up comedy with Noel Miller.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I see Noel Miller, he's like, "Been doing any open mics?" And I'm like,
"Nope,
no, not that much. I've been busy." And now I have that relationship with Mark.
Yep, with making a movie.
With making a movie. With making a movie, because I spoke to him about it, and he when I went on his cleaning, washing,
the power wash,
similar podcast, he was like, he basically ordered me to get a film done by like March of this year, and I was like, okay, Mark. Kind of like knowing in my head, I don't know if I have the fucking time to write a whole fucking short film and stuff. And then I saw him at your birthday, and he was like, and we were, you know, he was like, how's your movie coming along? I'm like,
it's really good. It's coming along
well. I'm like, Mark, please, okay, I haven't done that, but I'm directing a music video. And he was like, You know how he is.
Yeah.
but I mean, it's nice though. I mean, it's nice that he remembered that conversation. And he was bringing it up. But and I think it's also nice also to have people in those categories of your life that will bother you about those things. But the reality is that in me knowing I haven't done the thing, I will avoid speaking to that person as a result.
It's just like, I have so much shame that I don't want to see this person.
Yeah.
Because I know they're going to ask about this thing that I know I haven't done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but...
Well, next time I see you, I will now be asking you about...
You can't. No, about both. About both. Now I have all of these people that I'm just trying to dodge in my life.
Should be like, so, your open mic movie. How is it coming along?
Hey, folks, that's the end of that, the main episode for the main channel. But Ethan and I kept chatting for a little bit longer on the Patreon, which is $5 a month. Price of a cup of coffee or a matcha latte if you're into that liberal shit. So if
a matcha latte is way more than $5 nowadays.
Really?
Yeah, if you're in LA or in New York,
even
it's close to $9.
You've improved the pitch. You've improved the pitch here. It's cheaper than what you'd even buy a single matcha latte for.
Especially with tax and everything.
We kept chatting. We talked about superpowers. Mm-hmm. Ethan made a bet. We talked about why bets are bad.
talked about sports betting and gambling.
And it was a good time. So see you over there. Bye.
Bye.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It never happens at a good time. The pipe bursts at midnight. The heater quits on the coldest night. Suddenly, you're overwhelmed. That's when HomeServe is here. For $4.99 a month, you're never alone. Just call their 24/7 hotline and a local pro is on the way. Trusted by millions, HomeServe delivers peace of mind when you need it most. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.